Wow, well, I am so glad to have you with us today. Memorial Day weekend, come on now. Like I said, I know you got some great plans this weekend, but this is the best thing you could have been doing all weekend. I'm glad to have you today. We are in week 16 of our series, Supernatural, where we are walking through the entire book of Acts for the entire year. And if you've been with us for any period of time, it has been so powerful. It's been so fun. And it's been such a challenge, I think, for us as a body and even for me as a pastor to just walk through a book this slowly and really take our time with each passage. But it's been so life-giving. I hope that you've really enjoyed it. I certainly have. And the title of the series is Supernatural. Somebody say supernatural. But the title of the message today is very supernatural. It is The Two Visions. The Two Visions. Now, really what we're talking about today is in Acts chapter 10. This is where we find ourselves in the book of Acts. And this is where Peter goes to the house of Cornelius. And there's an incredible thing that happens. There's these two separate visions from these two men. And God links them together in this amazing way. And so let's go ahead and start in Acts 10, 1 through 2. It says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. What I would like to think is that he was an Italian mobster. You know what I'm saying? Like that's, when I first read that, that's the first thing that came to mind. You know, I was like, is this dude in the Italian mob? Like, that's pretty awesome. This guy's probably legit, okay? It says, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing, and he gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Okay, he's not a mobster. He's a good dude, okay? So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Cornelius. A centurion is a soldier in the Roman army, but not just a regular soldier, not a regular centurion, but he was a commander in the Italian regiment of this Roman army. He's a very high status. And now when you think of the Roman army, and you probably have seen Bible movies before, and you kind of see like the big gaudy armor and the big hats with the, you know, the little feathery kind of things that they wear. Usually when you're looking at one of those, you have your regular soldiers, but anytime there's somebody that comes up and speaking, you can tell he looks like a commander of any sorts. This is what they're talking about. This is that person. It is a Roman centurion. And they had a lot of authority, a lot of power, and really it was kind of the backbone of the Roman army. These men that led a decent size of men as well. And so they were the backbone of the Roman army. He was a God-fearing man though. It's a little interesting because he's Roman. He's not Jewish. But yet he is a God-fearing man. Now, he wasn't fully converted over to Judaism, but he believed in the God of the Jews. He prayed to God. He also gave money to the poor. And it says that he was thought of very highly by the Jewish people that he lived around. So obviously he loved the Lord. He gave. He was thought of very highly. So as close as he could be, he was basically one of them. And so Acts 10:3, it says, one day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. And now you'll see a lot of times in scripture where it says like 3 in the afternoon, or it was the sixth hour or something like that. And it's not just trying to describe the time of day. It's not just telling you, hey, it was around, you know, 2 o'clock. When I think of 3 in the afternoon, at least in football season, I'm thinking, you know, NFL, you know what I mean? Like 3 in the afternoon is when the afternoon games start coming on. Or maybe for you today, it's when you have your afternoon nap. Come on, after church, come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about? You get that lunch after that second or third service. You go put the kids down for a nap. Come on, we got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and it's about 2 or 3 o'clock, we get that nap in. Come on. But there's a reason why they talk about 3 in the afternoon is because that was one of the 3 times of prayer for the Jews. So what is it saying? It's saying, hey, at the time that was appointed for prayer, he was actually going into a time of prayer. And then he has a vision. What does that tell me, y'all? And I hope that you'll agree with me here, that God shows up when we pray. Amen? God shows up when we pray. When we reach out to the Lord and we call on the Lord, he responds. If you need a vision for your life, it starts with prayer. Amen? If you need a vision for your family, it starts with prayer. If you want to connect with God, you want to walk in the supernatural and the life that every believer can walk in, it starts and ends with prayer. And so an angel of God appears to Cornelius in this vision. And some of y'all are like, what even is a vision? You know, like you've heard of visions before. Not really sure what that means as far as like our everyday life. Is that something that still happens today? Is it something that was just back then? Okay, what even is a vision? Well, It's different from a dream in that, you know, a vision happens when you are awake, and dream is, of course, when you are asleep. Now, I have had both dreams and visions from the Lord, and I do not discriminate against the ways that God wants to communicate with me. I love them all equally, all right? But they're very different in one sense, but there's different ways that God will give visions and dreams, but these things happen all throughout the Bible. You'd be shocked to see how many times it says a story will start with, he went into a vision, or he had a dream, and God showed him this, whatever it might be. God gave Abraham a vision to encourage him to keep going when times were getting really tough. God literally just shows up to Abraham in this vision and tells him so many encouraging things. And it's basically saying, hey, listen, I'm with you. I'm for you. Keep going. Don't stop. That's the gist of it. God gave visions and dreams to the prophets in the Old Testament to warn his people. Because many times these Israelite people, you know how it was up and down in their relationship with God, right? And when they were in a down season, God would give a vision or a dream to one of these prophets, and they would basically be saying, hey, listen, this is what's going to happen to you if you do not turn back to God. He gave me a vision, he gave me a dream, and he showed me exactly what's about to happen. So it was a warning. And then also God gave visions to individuals. You'll see a lot of this in the New Testament to empower people to reach the lost. That's what we see so much of now, even here today. And we just talked about it last week with Saul and Ananias, right? Saul is on the road to Damascus. He's going to kill Christians. He's going to put them in prison. And then Jesus shows up to him, literally in person shows up to him. But then at the same time, Ananias, who's in Damascus, gets a vision from the Lord. And it's this vision saying, hey, you need to talk to this man named Saul. And he's like, no, I don't want to talk to him. I know he kills Christians. I don't want to be anywhere near him. But it was a vision to help empower him to reach out to Saul. And so what I want to encourage you with today is that God still gives visions today to do three things, y'all, to encourage us, to warn us, and to empower us. Three things. God still gives visions today to encourage, to warn, and to empower. Now, I've had some encouraging visions and dreams before. I told you I've had both, and I love them both. But I've had some visions and dreams that have really, they felt like a warm blanket, like for real. It just felt like a big old hug, like the Lord is just wrapping his arms around me and saying, hey, son, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Hey, I'm here with you. I'm for you. In the same way that Abraham, God showed up to him just to say, hey, I got you. All right, it's good. Keep going. Keep pressing forward. I've had visions and dreams like that before. I've also had some warnings in visions and dreams. It was clear when God was warning me of danger that was ahead. Sometimes the danger was from the outside. Somebody maybe that I needed to stay away from, somebody I needed to steer clear from, a situation I didn't need to get myself involved in. But sometimes the warning has been, hey, listen, if you keep going down this path from what's within you, then there's going to be a big issue going ahead. And so sometimes it's a warning externally, sometimes it is an internal warning. But then my favorite kind of vision and dream that I've ever had is an empowering vision. Some of them have given me exact details about another person, of how I can pray for them, things that I wouldn't be able to know outside of God telling me. Sometimes it's been a place that I needed to go to and I needed to wait for somebody to show up so that I could talk with them. It's the same thing that we see with Ananias and with Saul. You see this many times throughout the New Testament. The Holy Spirit, or in a vision or an angel, will tell somebody exactly the place that they need to go to. And what is this empowerment for? It is simply so I can share the love of Jesus with this person. Oh my goodness, it's incredible. It's an encouraging dream or vision, a warning dream or vision, or an empowerment dream or vision. And all three are very normal in the life of a believer. And if you've never had a dream or vision from the Lord, let me just encourage you, because now you're like, all right, pastor's off the rocker, okay? Let me just tell you, if you've never had a dream or vision from God, and you're like, hey, that would be cool. I would love to be able to hear from God in that way. What did I just say earlier? It all starts with prayer. It all starts with asking the Lord and say, Lord, would you speak to me while I sleep tonight? There was a time when I was very in the habit of doing this every single night. I would pray and I would say, Lord, would you speak to me in dreams and visions tonight as I sleep? And there's sometimes I'll put on And I was really in the habit of this at one point when I had a lot of dreams and God was giving me all kinds of dreams and visions. And it was when I was very intentional before I went to sleep and I would put the Word of God on. If you got the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, anybody have the YouVersion Bible app? It's like the number one Bible app in the world. I actually really love it because the NIV version, it sounds like Morgan Freeman reading the Bible to you. In the beginning, right? It's like, it's amazing. I love it. I can't do it. I'm not even going to try. But it's amazing. And so I would put it on before I go to sleep, and then I would wake up the next morning, and the Word of God is still playing. So I end my day with the Word of God. I start my day with the Word of God. And in that one third of your entire life that you are asleep, right? Come on, now you got to think about it. A third of your life, you're asleep. I think God wants to redeem that third of your life, that 8 hours that you're asleep. I hope maybe some parents getting 5 to 6. Come on now. But I hope that you're getting 8 hours of sleep and then God can speak to you in the middle of that. What I would ask you to do is just pray and say, God, would you speak to me in visions and dreams? Would you speak to me while I sleep tonight? Put on the Word of God. Man, I think some of you might be surprised on what you see and what you hear. I'm going to leave it at that. Acts 10:3-4. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. And Cornelius stared at him in fear. So in Cornelius's vision here, there is an angel and he is afraid. Now, if I saw an angel, I would be pretty afraid too. That's why just about every time that an angel shows up in the Word of God, what's the first thing they say? Do not be afraid. I'm like, it's too late for that. Do you see yourself? You are huge. You're like Shaq, but with a 25-foot wingspan. You know, you're massive. I'm terrified already. And they're like, no, just calm down. Everything's fine. I just got a message from the Lord. And I'm like trembling, you know. That's how I would be. It says he's afraid. But all throughout the Bible, you'll see times where it says an angel of the Lord appeared, whether in person or in a vision or in a dream. And it was always to do one of three things: to encourage, to warn, or to empower them. An angel encouraged Mary, showed up to Mary and encouraged her that she would have Jesus. What an encouragement, right? Two angels warned Lot and his wife to not look back when the destruction starts, and one of them did not listen. An angel, we talked about this a few weeks ago, empowered Philip by telling him exactly where he needed to go. He said, go down the south road and then there you will meet somebody. He's basically saying, this is the Ethiopian eunuch story we just talked about a few weeks ago. The angel of the Lord appeared to Philip and said, go down the south road. What was he doing? He was empowering him to reach somebody that was lost. So it's an encouragement, warning, or, my goodness, or empowerment. And so all this talk about angels, I understand, like visions and angels and all that kind of stuff. Listen, first off, we're in a series called Supernatural. You should have expected it, okay? But I also understand it's like, hey, it's a little weird. I've never heard stuff like this before. I've never really talked about angels. I've never really talked about, you know, the spiritual realm and all this stuff. I've never really talked about visions and dreams. I don't really know what I believe about all that stuff. The reality is, y'all, if we believe what the Bible says, we believe that there are angels everywhere. There are powers of darkness. There are powers of light. There is good and there is evil. There is God. There is Satan. This is what we believe as Christ followers, is that there is a spiritual realm that we cannot see with our own eyes, but that we know is there. And this is what we believe, is that there are angels that bring messages. There are angels that fight back against the powers of darkness. And there are angels that protect you and your family as well. Now, I don't know if there are guardian angels that protect like individual families. I would like to think that there are. I think that would be great. And I'm sure that God does that in some ways. We don't know that specifically. But what do we know about angels? It says, Hebrews 1:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? It says they minister to us, they serve us. There are angels here, I believe, at Radical Church right now. And I pray all the time, and maybe you've heard this prayer before. Like, Lord, would you place a hedge of protection around them as they drive? First of all, what is a hedge? You know what I mean? I don't even know what that is. Church people, why are we praying that? No one even uses that word. It doesn't even make sense, right? We pray with a hedge of protection around them. But then the thing that I usually pray a lot, and I do pray this prayer quite often, is that, Lord, would you send angels to protect us as we travel Would you send your angels to minister to somebody and to encourage them? Listen, I'll pray for angels to be in hospital rooms and to comfort and encourage. I pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fill that person and to comfort them as well. But man, I don't know exactly how it all works, but what I do know is that the angels of God are here to minister and to serve, to help and to protect us, to bring us messages of encouragement, to empower us, to warn us of things. This is what angels we see in Scripture. This is what they do. Even right now, there's a family that's in the hospital, and their daughter just yesterday was in the pool with some floaties on, and then she didn't have floaties on. And they found her at the bottom of the pool, got her to the hospital, and I'm headed there later today after service to pray. And the first thing that I thought to pray yesterday when I got the news, we, you know, prayed with our family, with our son and our daughter. But the first thing that I thought to pray just kind of to myself is, Lord, would you send your angels to protect this little girl right now? Protect them as they're in the ambulance. Holy Spirit, would you go and fill that room? And I don't know exactly how it works, but what I do know is that they're here for us. And so I just believe that God is sending peace to that family and that that little girl is going to come out on the other side just fine. That's what I believe anyway. Come on now. So they minister us. They serve us. They're right here. They're in your home. They're at your workplace. Come on. I believe they go with you and your family. They go with your children to school. Come on. Now, I would pray, God, would you send angels along with my children as they go to school to protect them from the things that they're going to see and hear at this place? God, would you keep them close to you? In Hebrews 13:2, it says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. This is a pretty cool verse, right? Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. What is it saying? Is that, hey, there might be a stranger that you come across that's actually an angel and you did not even know it. You ever come across somebody and you're like, man, that person may or may not have been an angel, right? Like, I know so many times people have gotten in accidents. So you hear of car accidents, or I hear of these life or death kind of situations, and then somebody just shows up out of nowhere and then helps them, and they're just like, who in the world is it? How'd you get here so fast? You know, and then they turn around and they're just gone in an instant. Now, it might just be because they're dazed and confused, but man, it really might be because God has sent this angel to help them there in that moment. Angels show up in person and human bodily form many times during Scripture. It is not something that they cannot do. It happens all of the time. And so it says, be careful how you treat people, because you might actually be talking to an angel and not even realizing it. You want to get real weird? Let's get weird, everybody. Here we go, all right? I got to get a drink before this one. Do I have a story for you? Did I just start the VeggieTales song right now? I did. What is it? How does it? Do we have a show for you? VeggieTales. Okay, no. Intrusive thoughts. Live stream. You're welcome. I got you. So angels, yeah. There has been one time in my life where I believe with all of my heart that I saw an angel. And it was actually at Radical Church when we were at the middle school. So we started at Negley Elementary, went to Wallace Middle School, and then we came here. And it was a few days before I was going to preach a message about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I knew that God was going to do something powerful that day. I knew it was going to be powerful. I felt so unprepared, though. I felt like there was something missing and that I needed just this encounter with God before I went in to preach this message. And so thank God, between a few events, I had this powerful encounter with the Spirit of God. And I just felt like I was filled and refilled and refilled again. How many of you know that you don't just get filled with the Holy Spirit one time? You need to get filled again. Come on. You need to get filled again and again and again. Why? Because we leak. We leak. Over time, we leak. This is why Jesus went by himself to go pray. What I believe he was doing is he was praying. He was like, Spirit of God, will you fill me again so that I can go out and do the things that I need to do? He was filled and then he gave. He was filled and then he gave. And then we see this time and time again in the book of Acts. And we'll get to this. We've already seen it. We're in Acts chapter 2. It says they were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, right? But then why does it say at least three other times in the book of Acts that they prayed and the room was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. Why would you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again if you already got it one time? It's because you constantly need to be in this relationship with the Lord. And as you go throughout your life, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get out of communion with God. And then you got to come back to the Lord and you say, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to lead me. And God, I need you to fill me again because I cannot live this life honoring of you and doing the things I need to do with my family. Yo, I got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old that I need some patience for, Lord. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit for that. You know, whatever it is in your life, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again and again and again. And so I get this incredible encounter with the Lord. And then as service is about to start for about 20 minutes, we just prayed and we worshiped. Our team was there and we had finished worship rehearsal. And you could just feel the atmosphere. Something was just going on. It was just powerful already before service even started. And worship ended up being powerful. Service lasted for 2.5 hours that Sunday. Now, that's before we had 3 services and we could do that, right? But it lasted for 2.5 hours. And I tried to dismiss. I really did. I tried to tell people to leave. I said, hey, if you need to get out of here, go for it. We're going to keep worshiping and see what God does. And I guarantee you, I don't know what it was like in the other gym or the kids area was, but they were probably like, what is happening over there? Like, can they finish the service already? But then people were going over and telling the kids ministry people what was going on. And they were bringing their kids back into the room 2 hours into the service. And the kids were just like sleeping and hanging out, playing on the floor. And the parents literally came back in and said, hey, you stay there. I'm going back, right? It was wild. I've never seen anything like it. And so about almost 2 hours into service, I gave the invitation for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to get this power from God. And a man walked in. Now remember, we only have 1 service. There's not like another service where somebody might be coming in. It would be a very normal thing for somebody to come in now. They're just coming to the next service. But we are 2 hours into the only service that we have. Why is this new person now walking into the door? Now, I had never seen this man before. He was a thin black man that had on a bright white shirt. And immediately, I just knew he was an angel. Now, I don't know how I could tell you that. I just did. You ever have that feeling where you're just like, you just know something, right? And for me, it was just, I could immediately tell that it was from the Lord, because why in the world would that be the first thought that I had? That's not usually the first thing that you would think when somebody walks in the room. Oh, there's an angel. I was like, wait, what? What did I just think right now? And so I just felt like he was. And so I was kind of keeping my eye on him as I'm preaching and as I'm inviting people to the front. So as we worship, we began to pray for people. He moved closer to the front, kind of somewhere around. We were on the floor. We didn't have a stage. And so he was kind of somewhere around the front. And people are up here at the front praising and worshiping God. And people are crying and just finding freedom in the Lord. And this man stretches out his arms like this and starts speaking in tongues in like this thick African accent. And I was like, listen, I don't know if this dude is an angel, but if not, he seems awesome and I would love to get to know him. Like, he seems so legit. And so many people found freedom and breakthrough that day. And still to this day is honestly my favorite service we have ever had at Radical Church, by far. The presence of God was so tangible, so evident. You could just tell that the Holy Spirit was moving. And so right after service, I was ministering to people and I quickly tried to run out and catch the guy and find him, and he was just gone. And to this day, I have still never figured out who that person was. Never seen him again. And so there was only one other person. I was told that only one person had actually talked to that guy as he had come into the service. And I was like, well, I gotta figure out who it is. It was a trusted church member, so I called him. And when I reluctantly told him on the phone, hey, I'm going to say something a little bit weird. Like, I kind of think that guy was an angel. This member of our church just broke down crying. And he said, you know what, Pastor? I thought the same thing when I started talking to him. I didn't want to say anything to you about it because I didn't want you to think I was crazy. And I was like, well, man, I don't know what God is doing, but it's obviously something powerful. Let me encourage you with this, first off, that God is moving at Radical Church. Amen? God is moving in this house and in this place and in these people, and his presence and his angels and his Holy Spirit are here in this house, every time we gather. And I firmly believe that God is breaking chains in this place. He's lifting up heads in this place that are down. Man, he sends his angels to stir up faith in this room. He sends his angels to fight off the powers of darkness in this place that are trying to stop you from having an encounter with God like you need to. And I also really believe that these angels, in the same way that they worship and they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," I believe that they are in this room worshiping Jesus right alongside you and me. Amen? So angels of God are here to encourage, warn, and empower. So Acts 10, 4 through 5, "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring back a man named Simon who's called Peter." Man, I love this. I love this part. Why? Because it says, hey, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard. Isn't that good? Your prayers have been heard. Your generosity has been recognized. Wouldn't that be so nice to hear from somebody? Like, when you give to the poor, or maybe you give to Radical Church, or you give to a missions trip team, or maybe you're praying to the Lord, and sometimes, you know, you pray and you feel like those prayers are just hitting the ceiling and bouncing back to you. Like, is this even making a difference right now? Wouldn't it be so nice if an angel just popped out of nowhere and was like, "Hey, just want to let you know he has received your request, and he will be getting to it shortly." All right. Whoop. You know, like, that would be so encouraging. It'd be incredible. And this is exactly what happens here in this passage. You know what, though? It's encouraging to me, because sometimes if God sends this angel to tell Cornelius, hey, he has heard your prayers. He has seen those gifts that you have given when nobody else was looking. He has seen you when you are by yourself and you are praying and you are crying out to God. Man, if he hears Cornelius in that way, he hears me in the same way, and he hears you the same way too. Amen? Come on, God hears when we pray. I'm going to put it like this. When I pray, God hears, and when I give, God sees. Isn't that encouraging for us today, church? Come on. It says that these things ascended to God like a memorial offering. Come on, it's Memorial Day Sunday. You don't think God orchestrated that? Here we go. We're at Acts chapter 10. I just read the passage, okay? Simply put, prayer and generosity reach the heart of God. That's what it says. And he's moved by them. Why? Jesus said, what's the greatest commandment? To love God and love your neighbor. And what does prayer show? Prayer shows that you love God, and generosity shows that you love your neighbor. So Cornelius is a good man, and God recognizes this. And so Cornelius, and he tells a few men, hey, we got to go find this Peter dude, all right? In Acts 10:9, it says, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. Do you see the theme here? Cornelius is praying, Peter is praying, and because of that, God is moving. It all starts with prayer. Moving on in verse 10, he became hungry and wanted something to eat. He's trying to go to Cracker Barrel. While the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance, kind of like a vision or something like that. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners, contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." And this happened three times in order to get it through his thick skull, okay? And immediately the sheet was taken back to, that was the Trevor version, by the way, of, I just added that, you know? In the Old Testament, y'all, there is entire chapters dedicated to things that are clean and unclean. Specifically to animals that were clean to eat, unclean animals, clean animals, unclean things that you could do or not do. And so in Peter's time, it was still against their Jewish law to eat any animals that were considered unclean. And so here's Peter in this trance with this vision and all these animals he's never been allowed to eat before. And God is saying, don't call anything impure that I've called pure. So what does this mean? What's the application of this vision? He's trying to figure it out right here in verse 17. While Peter was still wondering about the meaning of the vision, he's like, I don't know. The men sent by Cornelius found where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. I love that last little phrase, I have sent them. Man, God sends solutions to the problems you have in your life before you even realize there's a problem. Amen? Peter's praying to God. He's wondering about the meaning of the vision. He's like, man, I have no idea what's happening right now. Not knowing that God has literally sent the answer to his doorstep. Is that the God that we serve? Come on now. When you are praying and you don't even know what in the world is going on, when you have a problem in your life, God is already working on the solution. I believe when God gives you a vision, we say this all the time around here, but he gives you a vision, he gives you provision. What does that mean? If God gives you a vision, he's going to give you everything you need to accomplish that vision. God knows exactly what you need, and he knows exactly when you need it. God is never late. He's never early. He's always what? Right on time. Come on, somebody say amen. Peter goes with them. He meets Cornelius at his home. It says in verse 28, he said to them, you're well aware it's against our law for a Jew to associate or with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Now you got to understand how massive of a step this is for Peter. When he says it's unlawful, I do want to clarify this. He says it's unlawful. There is actually no law in the Old Testament that forbids Jews to eat with or associate with Gentiles. He says it's unlawful because that law was a part of the oral tradition sent down by the Pharisees and sent down by the rulers and teachers of the law. This was a part of the pride that had infected the Jewish people, that they were better than other people, that they were God's chosen people, so they were better than everybody else. And they actually created this law that you are not allowed to associate with Gentiles. It's not anywhere in the Old Testament. You can't find it. And so when he says it's unlawful, he's basically saying, hey, I'm not supposed to do this. This is what has been my tradition. This is what it's been for my entire life. He's not supposed to talk to this man, much less go into this dude's home and eat food with him. You got to understand how big of a step this is. He's breaking all sorts of traditions. He's breaking all sorts of prejudices that he has been taught that he is supposed to have his entire life. But what he's basically saying, well, like, why does he do it? Why does he go into this home? Because Peter figured out the meaning of the vision on the way. He figured out the meaning. And essentially, he's saying, man, for my entire life, I was told that these people were unclean. But God has shown me that all people are clean in his eyes. Man, I've been looking down on men like you for my entire life, thinking that me and my people were better than you. But I was wrong. So please, tell me what it is I'm here for. How humbling is that for Peter to say that? It's incredible. And so Cornelius answered, 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer, remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who's called Peter. He's a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner. They got a lot of Simons around here, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. So Peter's like, well, I guess this is happening. Here we go. I'm about to preach to the Gentiles for the first time ever. And so he preaches to this big crowd that's in the home, and they end up believing in Jesus. And it says that they actually started, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they started speaking in tongues. And he's like, excuse me, what in the world is happening right now? These are Gentiles and they're speaking in tongues. But then he says, you know what? What can stand in the way of them being baptized now? Come on, they're obviously believers in the Lord Jesus. Let's baptize these people. They're involved. They're in our community now. They are in the family of God. And later on, Peter has to go back and explain to all his Jewish friends. They're like, hey, listen, you went to the house of a Gentile and you ate with them. And he's like, hold on, listen, guys, I'm telling you, they received the gift and the baptism of the Holy Spirit the same way that we did. He's like, what in the world? Nothing can stop God now from sharing his word all the way to the Gentiles and to the ends of this earth. And they basically decided, you know what? It seems like God wants to give salvation to everybody, not just the Jews, but to all people. It's not just for us, but it's for all people. And so how do we view people on the outside of these four walls? Because many times, we sometimes as Christ followers have this pride about us. We're like, hey, I have the truth. And the people on the outside, they're just, you know, they don't got the truth. And we fight against them so many times. When God is like, hey, man, I'm actually for them. And I want you to reach out to them. Oh my goodness, there's these prejudices that we have. But I understand because Christians have this bad rap. We have this like holier than thou kind of thing sometimes, right? That I'm better than you. Sometimes it's easy to fall in the trap of pride as a believer. And we think of ourselves as better than those people that do not follow Jesus yet. And yet is the key word. Because maybe God is calling out to somebody in a dream. Maybe God is calling out to a Cornelius in your life in a vision, in a dream. Maybe he sent somebody to plant a seed in their life. And it's up to you to get a vision for them from God, to water the seed and to see it grow. What if Peter never went up to pray? Cornelius prayed and sent men, but what if Peter never prayed? What if Peter missed what God wanted him to do that day? And those three men just show up at his house and they knock on the door and he's like, listen, I can't associate with you. You guys are Gentiles. Get out of here. But Peter had a vision from the Lord and he followed and he obeyed. He didn't view himself as being too good, but he laid down his prejudices. He laid down the things that he had been taught and he went out after this person who did not really have the same truth and the same knowledge of Jesus. So what is the point of this entire message, y'all? What's the point of the entire passage? Yeah, we talked about visions. We talked about angels. We talked about all kinds of stuff. But all of it, the whole point of it is right here, is that the message and the good news of Jesus is for all people. Amen? It doesn't matter how close you are to God, how far away you are from God. It is for all people. And so the people that sometimes we count out, Jesus is reaching out to. And we have to reach out to them as well. And man, when you were far from God, aren't you grateful that somebody reached out to you? Aren't you grateful that he sent somebody with a vision for who you could be in your life when you were far away from God? Man, I don't know if it was a pastor, if it was a teacher. And maybe for you, it might have been a parent that raised you up in the ways of God. Or it might have even been a stranger that reached out to you. You know, somebody in Costa Rica today serves Jesus because Chris and this leadership team and this mission trip team told them about Jesus. They might never even talk to them again or never meet them again. But man, they planted the seed because they had a vision for what God wanted to do in that moment. Come on, man. I don't know who it was for you, but thank God for them. But thank God for that person that did that for me, that led me to Jesus. And let me tell you, God sent me to Kyle, Texas with the vision for this city to be saved, for this region to be saved, for our church to be a place of hope and healing for people that are on the outside to come in and be a part of the family and to experience a radical love of Jesus. And I hope that you would be a part of that with me. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise today. And would you stand up with me? I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you as we leave today. For a couple of things, but man, I really want to pray a prayer of vision over you. That you would receive dreams and visions from the Lord. Some of you, that you would have the boldness to actually pray that prayer, to have like literal dreams and visions and to be able to commune with God in that way. It is a powerful thing to be able to hear the voice of the Lord through a dream or a vision. It's incredible. And I think God wants to speak to us in this way. He wants to speak to you in that way. I'm going to pray for that for you. I'm also going to pray that you would receive vision for your family, vision for your career, vision for your relationships, and that God would give you vision for other people that are outside of these four walls, that you'd be able to see them the way that he sees them and to reach out to them in a powerful way. So would you bow your heads with me? Let me pray over you today. God, I just ask that you would give us vision. Your word says without vision, the people perish. And Lord, I need a vision for my life. There's some people in here today that maybe they're just kind of wandering and they're just going through the motions and they don't really have any clear direction or vision for their life. God, I pray that you would give that to them today, right here, right now, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us and everybody in this room that hungers and thirsts after this communion in this relationship with you that asks for, God, would you speak to us in dreams and visions? I pray that you would honor that you would give that to them, that you'd be faithful, Lord, to speak to us in these powerful ways, and that you would help them to be able to interpret these dreams and interpret these visions. Maybe it's to tell them to start a new business. Maybe it's an encouraging vision or encouraging dream to just let them know, hey, you're going to be all right. Everything's okay. Maybe it's a warning that they need to hear about something within themselves or something about somebody else, somebody they need to stay away from, a situation they need to back away from. or it might even be an empowerment, Lord. And I ask that you would give them visions and dreams of empowerment to reach people that are far from God, to tell them where they need to go, to give us words and the things that we should say, and to help us to see people in the way that you see them, which is a child and daughter, a son and daughter of the Most High God. And then, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't think of ourselves too highly, but that we would think of ourselves the same way that you did, Jesus. You put yourself last. You put yourself at the bottom of the totem pole. And you said, man, if you want to be a leader, you got to become a servant. Help us to see people in the way that you do, not to think of ourselves so highly, not to have this holier-than-thou legalistic mentality, but God, to reach out across the aisle, to reach out across the street, to reach out across the tracks, to reach out across and to find somebody that's far from you and to bring them into the family. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing here at Radical Church, that your angels have surrounded us. Lord, I pray that you would, as we go out Memorial Day weekend and people are having fun and hanging out with family and friends, traveling, all that kind of stuff they're doing, God, I pray you'd send your angels to protect them as they drive and as they travel. And Lord, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit and with power and authority that comes from Jesus. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise one more time today. God is good.